Wrong. Wrong. I don't look to questionable teachers to teach me who the children of the devil are. I look to the apostles that Jesus Christ himself appointed. And if you want to manifest the children of the devil, and you want to manifest the children of God, it's very simple. 1 John 3, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In this the children of the devil are manifest. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You are not a child of God if you do not do righteousness. That is how it is. The doer, what did he say of the Pharisees? Did he say, you wicked, you genetically false, you are actually genetically disposed to be the children of the devil or something nonsense like that? Oh, it's because you're related to Satan by blood? You are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Iniquity. You workers of iniquity. You who do sin. You who are the workers of the deeds of the flesh. You are the children of the devil. And unless God has planted you, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Unless God has planted us. And we just, it looks like we're a tare. Because they say, well, aren't we all the children of the devil then? That's the obvious question, right? Because we're all sinners, right? That's the thing. We're all sinners. No, that's not true. Not all sinners. All have sinned. I have sinned, but I am not a sinner. Oh, you're proud. You say you're not a sinner. I'll show you. Well, I've sinned. And what the future may bring, I'm going to believe and hope and pray. My expectation is there will be no more sin in my future. And whatever sin I might commit would be against my will, not what I really want to do. But I am not a sinner because God has planted me. That is my faith, at least. God has chosen me to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those that are conformed to the image of his Son are not sinners, they are sons. They are not servants of sin, they are sons of God. Do you get my meaning? What I mean is that God looks at us in a different way. From the foundation of the world, he has chosen us to salvation, and he has planted us, so we are the good seed. We are not tares. We are not to be bundled up and burned, because that's what he does to sinners. He bundles them up and burns them. But we are gathered into his barn. We are brought to eternal life. But all have sinned. And that's just, remember, parables don't answer perfectly, but the wheat, when it grows with the tare, for a while, it could look like a tare. They're very similar in appearance. And that has to do with all have sinned. That we are similar. It's hard to tell apart. You don't necessarily know if it's a tare. Because someone may appear to be evil. When they grow, there's no fruit yet, right? The fruit hasn't come forth. It's only when the fruit comes forth at the end, when it's all judged. Yeah, in the meantime, we bring forth fruit unto death, don't we? But like I said, parables are not absolute analogs for reality. They only speak to a particular portion of reality. And in the portion that they speak to, they are very effectual and very accurate and very strong. But they do not cover necessarily all aspects of reality. And that's the idea, is that I was a sinner. I was those things. I was doing those works. But when I am born of God, truly, and his seed remains in me, I can't sin anymore. And I can't be satisfied until I see that in myself. Until I see that happen, I can't be satisfied. Now, I trust God that it's going to happen because he is saving me. And I had faith in him. And I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess that name. And I believe God has raised him from the dead. And that is that is the beginning of faith. But I go on in faith. I believe that. Therefore, I answered his call. I believe in his promises. I look to him for his power to be shed out on me. Because that is what I ought to do. I'm not as those that draw back into perdition. I'm not going to show up on the wedding day in inappropriate clothing or naked. Imagine it's like showing up at a party and thought everyone was going to be naked or in a toga or whatever. And you show up in the wrong, like let's say you go to a party and you think it's a costume party. So you show up in a costume and everyone else is dressed formally. Can you even stay? Is it even possible to stay under those circumstances? No, it would be very uncomfortable. But let's not lose sight of what I'm really saying. The children of the devil are described in the writings of the apostles. 1 John chapter 3. It tells us who they are. Who are the children of the devil? It says so. We don't need to guess. We don't need to imagine. We don't have to go back and piece together scriptures that do not fit together.
Oh, they fit together. We make them fit together all the time. You should read. Here it says Cain and this and that and the Nethinim and et cetera.
And I've studied it all. I've got a whole page of my thing dedicated to it. Sin is what makes you a child of the devil. And righteousness is what makes you a child of God. And the one who does righteousness is the righteous one. The scribes, they build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. You know, in these days, what they do is, oh, we hold aloft the holy word of God. And we garnish the sepulchres of Christ. And they are. The churches of the holy sepulchre. Who's there? Who's garnished his tomb? You know, they're so zealous for the holy places. They're so zealous for the holy men of old. But for the holy men of their own generation, they don't have much patience for. For the holy men of this generation, they don't want to hear them out.
We follow the apostles. We're fundamentalists.
I found there are people who are, if there are any people who are not fundamental in their beliefs, it is the fundamentalists. They are the most unfundamental. When it comes to the fundamentals of the Bible, they are the most lacking. Because they think they got it. And they're so wrong. And they say, if we had been in the days of our... Oh, we wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have been partaker. We wouldn't be like the Pharisees. You are like the Pharisees already. We wouldn't have crucified Christ. You're going to do the same thing to his servants. Maybe not crucify. You know, these days, it's almost insidious. They're more... The way they take care of you is... More subtle. And plus, with our ministry, Jesus' ministry couldn't be ignored. Not like John the Baptist, where they could just be like, whatever. You know, let's go judge him and see. And then he dresses them down, and they don't have to pay attention to him. He's not really, you know, they're coming down to be baptized, and they're like, okay, whatever. He's baptizing. They asked him if he was the Messiah. He said no. They're like, fine, no harm, no foul. You know, you look at the historical church, and it's funny how many people want to be part of that continuum. We want to be part of the Catholic, the Protestant. They want to be part of that continuum because they think it's important to be part of that historical church. Because if the historical church, then I've heard it said that the gates of hell would have prevailed if there wasn't always a visible historical church. The gates of hell are the gates of death. Death will not hold us back. But on earth, it'd be nothing to God if it even go dormant for 1,000 years or two.